Welcome to the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show, where we speak with elite individuals and top performers and seeing what it takes to stay healthy and get wealthy. Are you ready to be elite? Are you ready to be part of the 1%? Well, then without further ado, let's get it.
What is up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. I'm your host, Chase Henderfit, and today we have an elite entrepreneur. I mean, check this out. So he started within the equestrian world, and being in the equestrian world, he built up this huge network of these high-level individuals, which then led him straight into luxury living. I mean, he's chartering yachts, chartering jets. He's getting into wholesale real estate. This guy does it all. Please help me welcome elite entrepreneur, luxury lifestyle extraordinaire, Mr. Ash Atkinson. Ash, how's it going, man?
Chase, I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm in desperate need for a haircut. Quarantine issues. Yeah, exactly. See, I need a cap as well, like you, obviously. But I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I mean, living a life in Florida, sitting outside, the weather's beautiful, so can't complain so much.
Living the dream, man. Awesome. Yeah. So for those of you who do not know who you are, Ash, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about like who you are and what really has led you into what you're doing today?
Yeah, 100%. So in case you can't tell from my accent, I'm from the UK. I grew up in England for the first 20 years of my life. My entire family still actually lives in the UK. When I was 20, I left England. I moved to Germany. I worked in Germany for a couple of years. I moved to Mexico. I lived in Mexico for a couple of years. And now I've been in the US for almost 5 years, actually, at this point. A couple of years in California, now 3 years in Florida. And originally, I started out riding horses as a kid, ended up making that into my profession. So I was competing horses in show jumping, specifically riding, training. I was then got into the kind of the more business side of the sport. So buying and selling horses. And then really when I moved to the US, I was really more focused on the business side. And show jumping, it's what you class as kind of elitist sport in terms of, you know, you have a lot of very wealthy people that do it, that love to have horses and enjoy the sport and be part of it and all the action. So, you know, with that and with buying and selling horses and working with investors, I built up this very, very extensive, very expansive network just because I was very good at what I did. And, you know, I was just created that real great reputation for myself, that kind of know, like, and trust factors as you want to, you know, kind of class it as today. And, you know, with that, I realized there was also an opportunity whereby, you know, the clientele that I have and the type of people I'm working with, they're going to want to not only buy horses, the likelihood is they're living all the luxury lifestyle. So they're, you know, chartering jets, they're chartering yachts, or even buying jets or buying yachts. Or, you know, we also have an exotic car rental fleet down in Miami. So we rent out exotics by the, you know, the day, the week, the month, whatever the case may be. We also do property check-ins, so kind of property management for clients that maybe are away for the summer. So they're just down here for the winter season. So I kind of realized a lot of this, and I actually partnered up with a guy in Palm Beach who's been doing this for 10 plus years in the concierge space, and kind of plugged my existing network into his infrastructure. And then, you know, I've been working with the guy for probably 8-9 months now and really developing that up. And, you know, I just took my network and I explained to them, look, you know, there's other options I can provide you, you know, and really try and be like a one-stop shop for everything luxury, high-end, kind of concierge related. So that's kind of what I'm up to at the moment.
Is that it? Is that all? Is that?
I mean, we can go on for hours. I mean, apart from that, yes, I do that. And then I also have a massive passion for real estate. And, you know, with where things are right now in the economy and, you know, things are shifting. No one really knows what's going on right now. I mean, obviously the luxury market's taken a bit of a hit for sure for us. We're still doing a lot of jet charters because, kind of interesting enough, you know, a lot of people that wouldn't necessarily fly private are because they're afraid with COVID-19 right now. They don't want to get on a commercial airliner. So they're actually, you know, hitting me up wanting to charter either across the US. And actually I did a charter the other week to from Palm Beach to Chile, Santiago, Chile. So interesting stuff like that. Yeah. But then also, like I said, I have a passion for real estate and I've kind of got into wholesaling as well. And this is kind of a new venture for me. It's like last couple of months, looking at some deals right now, kind of trying to build and scale that business up. Well, I think this is a great opportunity right now. And I, again, my goal is always provide a lot of value to the people I work with, whether it's, you know, an ultra high net worth individual or it's, you know, somebody that's in a distressed situation and they need help. to get figured out of that. So I just want to be able to provide a lot of value. And so I think it's a great business model. And really from there, I want to scale this business up and then look to tackle bigger properties, multifamily, self-storage, commercial office. That's kind of really the way I see this business going. You know, I like to do everything on a big scale. I don't like to keep it. I don't like to play it small, as you know, Chase. So.
Oh, I can tell. Yeah. I mean, literally, it's insane. You see, like, some of these entrepreneurs are trying this, and this, and that, and they're not doing so well. But then you have, like, you. It's like the pinnacle, like the person who's got his hands in this and this, but it's all luxury, which is interesting. And, like, what was, like, the big push into luxury? Was it really just that network you had cultivated within Equestrian, or was it, like, how did you really get into luxury living?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I kind of fell into it. And like I say, because I get this a lot, and a lot of guys in Wake Up Wealthy as well, when, you know, I get on calls for the first time, including yourself, were like, they're like, so what do you do? And I'm like, explain all this out of what I have going on. And they're like, wow, you do a lot of things. I'm like, the reality is it's all intertwined. As you said, it's not as if I'm in 1,000 different industries doing different things. It's all luxury asset based, you know, to an extent. And I kind of a little bit almost fell into it. Like I say, by pure coincidence, met my business partner of Instagram. I think he was posting some cool photos of a yacht he was selling. I don't know what, I can't even remember what it was. And ended up just liking a photo, following him. He follows me back, and I'm like, well, he's only 20 minutes away. I'll just DM him, started a conversation. We met up, explained what I did. He knew the equestrian world a bit. He'd had a little bit of involvement. We had some clients, so he kind of knew what I was up to. And, you know, I kind of fell into it, to be honest, on the luxury side. But again, I just had that network, and, you know, he saw that, you know, I could leverage his infrastructure with, you know, and he could leverage my network. We could really kind of make some music. So it's about building strategic partnerships as well. It's not about just going into one place, not really, you know, I want to be able to do things right, and I want to scale things fast. So if I can build strategic partnerships, again, with the horse side as well, the equestrian side, you know, I've built strategic partnerships with investors that can come in, we can buy equestrian assets, you know, add a lot of value, and then sell them on to other individuals. So it's all about building those partnerships, creating that reputation, rebranding yourself out, and then you can scale up from there pretty quickly, actually.
Boom. That's golden right there. Yeah. So when it comes to, like you said, strategic partnerships, branding yourself out there, it's specifically more so going into, like, networking with these high level individuals. Cause you've mentioned some of the people you've been able to network to me. And when we first spoke, blew my mind. Like, some of the people, you know, it's insane. So, like, how did you go about, like, creating that kind of network? I understand, like, there's a lot of it came from being in the equestrian world, but, you know, what's perceived from a lot of people is that networking with these high level individuals, it's something completely different from networking with just about anybody else. So what was that process like, being able to network with these high level individuals and be able to cultivate a really strong relationship and even building strategic partnerships out of it?
Yeah, I think it's a real golden rule here. And it's a lot more simpler than you realize. You just treat them the same as everybody else. It's so stupidly simple. Like, because the problem is that, I mean, these guys, I'm not going to name drop, because that's not what I do. And, you know, we have confidentiality with a lot of the clients we work with, but Chase, you know, that we're very elitist people that I typically are working with. And honestly, when I first started to cultivate relationships, I literally treat these guys like anybody else out there, like they're a colleague of mine, or, you know, anyone I just would meet for the first time. That's the thing with me. I've always learned, and I really thank my parents for that. Actually, they've really brought me up to value every human being exactly the same, regardless if they're, you know, a janitor or they are a CEO of a, you know, multiple billion-dollar corporation. It's, you treat everybody the same. And the thing is too, like, these guys, they almost expect that other people are going to be like, oh my God, like, teach me how you, like, made $1 billion, or, like, you know, kind of, how you do this, how you do that. And it's like, and when you come in with, first of all, you come in with the, just treating them like a normal human being, respectful, polite, you know, first of all, you know, that they don't expect that. They're like, wait, hang on, this guy's not. So that first of all sets off initial foothold. And secondly, I've never gone into, really with anyone I've ever really dealt with, I've never gone into the situation whereby, like, take. I've always, even with these high level guys, I've always taken a stance that I need to, what value can I provide them? What can I do for them? I offered them to make their lives easier. You know, I've always taken that stance with the relationship, you know, and some of my really close investors I work with now, these are guys I've just gone and I've helped them with different things, different issues they've been trying to solve or figure out. And, you know, it's not that I'm anything special by any means. I grew up in a middle-class family. I didn't know any wealthy people growing up at all. I was super middle-class. I just took the standpoint of just where can I help? Where can I provide value? Because the reality is, it doesn't matter how, you know, where you are on the ladder, there's an area where you need help. And if you can find what that is and be able to provide that value, help that person, you know, they respect you for it. And then one day they might come to you and be like, hey, how can I help you? Like, what can I do to help you? You know, that happens. That's awesome. But you should never expect that.
Boom. I love it. Zero expectations.
Yeah, exactly. Zero expectations. Just go in with the mind that how can I provide value to other people? How can I be of service and build that trust, build that rapport?
Right. That is huge. Awesome. And that's monumental, whether it be, you know, doesn't matter who you're networking with, just being able to be in a position of giving zero expectations to anything in return. I mean, like we talked about Wake Up Wealthy, the universe will give it back to you. The universe always gives it back.
And you have to be genuine as well. I think that's a really crucial factor, because especially these guys at a high level, they're so used, they can see somebody that's coming at them and either faking it to be nice or faking, you know, saying like, oh, like, how can I help you? These guys, they see that every single day. I mean, they get hit up, they get emails, they get messages. They see it 100 miles coming. So you have to be genuine. They see it kind of otherwise. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Huge. Well, so kind of shifting from the networking side, you know, because a lot of that network really led you into the luxury market. What if somebody is listening to this and they want to get into luxury living in some way, shape, or form? Maybe it's chartering yachts, maybe it's the jets, maybe it's the exotic cars, something within the realm of luxury living. What are some of the best practices they need to be able to utilize when getting into the industry?
Yeah, that's a really awesome question. So, I mean, for me, I was very fortunate in the fact to say my business partner, he's been in the luxury space for 10 plus years. He was he was a British trained butler for 3 years. He's worked for a lot of very high net worth private families, and kind of that's how he built his way into the industry. You know, he worked for a lot of private families, really just grinded his way to what he does now. So I kind of came in with already his existing infrastructure. So we already were doing, you know, it wasn't just, he was just doing jets or just doing yachts or the cars or events or whatever. It was kind of, he already was doing a lot of different things. It's an interesting thought, because there's a number of different routes. You know, I would say you need to figure out if there's a specific area that you want to understand and know first. So if you're interested in potentially going down the jet route of, you know, becoming maybe a jet broker or providing that way, I mean, if you can, again, it's different routes. You can even potentially bring in, like I did, bring in a network of people that you know are likely to charter in the future. That's obviously one route in, you know, especially with myself and my partner. If any, you know, we have guys coming to us all the time saying, hey, I might have a client for you. I have somebody else that's interested. And that's awesome. We'll obviously help them. We'll pay them a commission. We'll teach them different things, whatever the case may be. But as well, like, you know, if you don't necessarily have that network, then find, you know, there's Google Jet Charter Company. I mean, there's umpteen jet charter brokers out there that just be like, hey, you know, can I come work for you? Can I come learn from you? Can I understand different types of aircraft? You know, because I mean, there's dozens of different types of aircraft, different sizes, and different class of aircraft and everything out there. So there's a lot of moving parts. The same for the yacht world as well. I mean, I would say on the yacht world, I would go and actually go and work on a yacht and learn from the ground up. And I'd something, had it not been for COVID-19 and we've had to, you know, take a pause on doing charters because we can't actually legally do charters for yachts right now. We're not sure quite when they'll be back, but my partner actually wants me to go work on a yacht for a couple of months to learn actually from the ground up of really how yachts function, which is what he did. He started on yachts when he was 17 and worked his way up. And that's, if you're interested in getting to the yacht world, potentially brokering either charters or even selling yachts one day, I would really take that route. I would go and work on a yacht, start off as a deckhand, build your way up, and just, you know, learn the business, learn the trade, learn the ins and outs. And that's going to put you so far ahead.
So. That's huge. Yeah. You learn from the bottom, work your way to the top. I mean, you're going to learn everything in and out. Like, even within my own journey, I can say, like, from doing online coaching, then I switched to in-person training. I learned a lot from doing just working in a gym, whether it be at a front desk and then going into training and then getting back into online training. There's a lot that I didn't realize about the fitness world had I not gone that route. So definitely, you know, if you can get your hand, you know, get your feet wet and really go down, like, from the rising the ladder type of thing, that's going to be huge. I love that advice. So I want to get your point of view from being, you know, you're working in the space of luxury living, but, like, what's it like? It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be nice. I'm going to say it'll be nice today when, I mean, my partner, I always say this, like, it'd be nice today when we're chartering for ourselves and we're, you know, kind of handling all our own itineraries as opposed to for everybody else. But it's hard work. Like, it's not like, you know, I imagine a lot of people see, you know, my Instagram and be like, oh my God, this incredible lifestyle. I'm like, it's our client's incredible lifestyle. It's what, I mean, it's about providing for the clients. It's not about necessarily how we feel about it. So it's a case of whatever we, as long as they're happy, regardless of how chaotic it is, we're trying to organize for them late nights, trying to be up, organizing deals, organizing itineraries, getting things set up for them, making sure all the moving parts are exactly to the end degree lined up how they should be. So the experience for them is perfect. That's the goal. And actually with us as well, we have an incredibly high retention rate for clients because we're so detail oriented. You know, even down to, we know this particular individual, he's going to get on the plane, he's going to sit on, you know, the left side of the aircraft in this particular seat. So therefore we need to make sure he has an iPhone cable on that side. We know he's going to have two cubes of ice in his gin and tonic with, you know, one peel of lime. It's about attention to detail as well. So it's not just, yeah, it's great. It sounds great to say we're chartering jets, we're chartering yachts, but I mean, that is the 1% of the job and 1% of what we do. It's everything else. It's the whole client experience, I would say. So
yeah. Yeah, that's real attention to detail. How many ice cubes are in one drink? Like, wow.
Yeah. And the thing is, we don't make a thing out of it either. Again, it's just we know our clients, we understand our clients, we know exactly what they want, and that's what they're expecting. I mean, chartering a jet, chartering a yacht, it's potentially a six-figure, you know, situation. Like, it's not you know, where we're getting in the car, you know, it's luxury, you know, as I say, it's luxury, and they expect that level of service and that standard. Mm-hmm. And that's why we pride ourselves. And again, I would say probably 90-95% of our business is referral. Like, new clients are pure referral based because of the fact that, you know, these guys are like, yeah, you know, these guys, they do an amazing job for us. Everything is always catered for. Everything is seamless. We never have to think about anything we're doing. They're going to refer us to their friends, their business partners. I mean, it's common practice. So
damn. Having a 95% referral system. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, I'm honestly, I don't know the exact number for sure. I mean, it's impossible to say, but I'm just saying, like, it's incredibly high, you know. And it's, again, but it's not like we can run Facebook ads either to this type of market. So
Ash Atkinson, even, need a yacht? Maybe.
Like, yeah, maybe. Yeah. So that's the thing. We've been, like, as well during COVID, we've been trying to brainstorm how we can look to, you know, provide more value and get more clients. And, like, can we run ads? And, like, well, I don't think the type of clientele we're looking to target is on either on Facebook, or they're the ones checking their Facebook and they don't have an assistant or somebody else. So it's
right.
Yeah, we we have to push on the word of mouth and the referral.
That's huge. So I was actually going to ask that too, is, like, you know, with everything going on right now with COVID-19 and everything, how are you guys kind of pivoting to adjust and adapt to the new economy that's kind of pushing forward?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the reality is, like, in 2008 you saw the same thing, whereby, I mean, obviously we're not in 2008, we're not that way in the economy right now. We're still, the economy's pretty relatively stable right now. But you, again, when it was then, it was the whole, the, you know, 0.01% of the population and that worth there, they did fine coming out 2008, you know. And it's not like these guys are still they have to do business. I mean, they have to travel, so they're still going to want to be chartering. I mean, regardless of what's going on, they've still got to move around. But it's interesting though. I mean, we're kind of just a little bit on tenterhooks trying to figure out where things will go, you know, for the next few months. Like I say, with yacht charters, we have no idea when we'll be able to actually go back into service, be able to sell the charters even. So we had a couple of yachts in contract actually when COVID hit, and unfortunately the buyers pulled out, which, you know, obviously makes sense. I mean, we can go anywhere. So it's going to be interesting. Honestly, we're just trying to figure out right now how we can provide more services as well, provide more value. Like I say, we also do house check-ins for clients, mainly in Palm Beach, that, you know, go away for the summer. So we go in, we, you know, check the mail, run the cars, make sure the maintenance guys have been there. Because if, you know, these owners, they're not there for 5-6 months and the pool guy is charging them a lot of money every month and he's not there. It's like, you know, we want to make sure that things get done. So when clients leave, obviously we'll be pushing that ahead coming into the summer. So we'll just be kind of pivoting and seeing what other services we can provide. We've teamed up with a few different companies, one that does a very, very good like home delivery meal service. And they're really like doing amazing food. So we're kind of teaming up them and offering this to our clients and just trying to be outside the box, you know, like how can we still provide value? How can we help them kind of be supportive if they're stuck at home and they can't get out, you know, or whatever. We always want to see, you know, what else we can do. And we're kind of in the process right now, just seeing what else we can provide. So.
Heck yeah, man. Adjust and adapt, man. I love that. The fact that, yeah, you know, you guys are thinking that outside of the box too, with like, even going down to like meal deliveries. That's, I wouldn't have thought to do that. That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, this, like I say, people, they can't go out and eat right now. And it's like, well, okay, you could order from a restaurant every night or have delivery dudes. But again, it's like people want, you know, especially the type of clients we're dealing with, they want, they have, there's a level of, you know, that they require. And so with the guys working with at Palm Beach, I mean, the guy's an incredible chef. And, you know, we're providing that service to clients that want to do it. It's a set menu we send out, I believe, on like Monday or Tuesday of every week. And the client looks at it and decides, you know, if what they want, how they want to do it. And do they want alcohol with that as well? And then we'll send it off to the chef. He'll spend a day or two preparing everything, make the meals, and then they deliver them out. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's just a service. It's, we just got to think, it's, you know, what else can we do? So it's just wherever we can provide value, really, it's the case. Just again, it's like everything I've been saying the whole way through the chatting with you. You know, it's about providing value wherever we right. can. So,
yeah, I think that's going to be the main topic of the conversation today is value, value, value. So, with everything, I mean, because like you do so much, and like again, like it's all within the realm of luxury. So it's, you know, your industry specific, niche specific. You know, how do you keep up? Like just like for yourself, because like, you know, you're servicing your clients, the attention to detail on everything you do is there. Like, how do you keep up yourself?
I love that. I'm really happy you asked, actually. So obviously, like you, Chase, how we met is through Wake Up Wealthy. And we got to give Brody a little mention.
Give Brody props,
for sure.
Yeah.
So we got to give Brody props. So if you're an entrepreneur under 35 and a guy, you know, hit up me or Chase. We can get you hooked up with these guys. But basically, you know, the teaching with these, you know, the guys in there with Brody and Julian, they're always teaching us about setting up our morning correctly. Because if we can set up our morning correctly, it really masters the day. So for me, you know, I typically try to get up anywhere between 5 and 5:30 in the morning. And I want to spend the first two and a half hours of my day just literally by myself in my thought before anyone else is up, before my phone is blowing up with clients, you know, needs or whatever's going on. I just really want to take that time in the morning just to be able to focus purely on myself. So I'm getting up, I'm going to go for a run right now because obviously I can't go to the gym. So I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to take a cold shower. Again, it just gets my mindset right. Just kind of restarts my nervous system, kind of get the blood pumping after a great workout, reduces the inflammation. And you know, it's hard because, you know, Chase, it's never fun. Every single day, you're like, oh no, I don't want to get in this, but you do it. And it's great afterwards. So I do that. I then do some breath work, just get really centered in myself, really kind of zoned in, be very intentional about my breathing and just being right in the moment. And then there I go straight into like a meditation. So 10, 20 minutes, again, just kind of really setting myself up, really visualizing you know, I typically spend it more to visualize on the things I want to be achieving, the things moving forward, you know, what I want to be getting into, what I want to be working on moving forward from there. And then also what I've just started doing like recently is actually more journaling, which I never really did before, but actually I spend a little bit of time, not even like 10 minutes, just journaling some things, even big goals or big ideas of things that I want to do. And then really I kind of just get into the day. I mean, I read as well a little bit, like 10, 20 pages of a good book that's, you know, right now I'm reading The Everything Store. So it's all about the, you know, Bezos and starting Amazon and everything else. So it's, I just do lots of little things just to really, you know, focus my mind, get my body moving, setting myself up from there. And also prior to that as well, the night before, I actually block out my calendar. I know a lot of the guys do it in the morning, where they'll time block how they want to do their day and structure it. I always want to do it the night before because I think it's better kind of brain dump it out of everything I want to do the next day. So then when I start the day, I can just be like, get into it. Like, okay, I already know what I'm doing, and just like, all right, let's go for the list, what we have to do. And from there, you know, it's about structure. Like you say, this, I'm doing a lot of different things every day, and I'm not great at this. I fully admit I'm not great at keeping discipline to my time blocks. And, you know, I'm one for, you know, I'm trying to work on something, but then I'm getting a text or getting a call, and I'm one to like go grab my phone and see who it is. So I try to be intentional about it. I try to take the power back, but I don't allow myself to do that. But it's small steps, you know. It takes time to build up that kind of those habits. But I just, like I say, I really try and think though about what I need to do this day, and just as much as I can, just stick to, all right, this is the time I need to spend on this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and just kind of try and get through the day like that. So.
That's huge.
No, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's really straightforward. It's not rocket science. I mean, I'm sure it's same for you, Chase. It's really pretty simple.
Very cut and dry. It's so simple, it's complex that people don't understand.
Yeah. It is. And in reality, you're building muscle memory too. Like, you can say, well, that's a lot to do in a morning routine. But I think for like you as well, Chase, like once you, you know, now I'd say I'm probably about a year on doing cold showers and doing other things as well. So it's like, I already have that muscle memory. I know when I get up, all right, I'm going to work out, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and do this. It's just muscle memory at this point, you know?
Yeah. It's all a matter of habit. Like you learn things as you go through life, and you learn to be like doing bad habits, and you learn how to do good habits. They're both the same. So it's just a matter of like really trying to adjust and focus that energy into one direction towards a better habit. So then it becomes like muscle, like you said, muscle memory. Like, yes, cold showers suck, but like now it's to the point where it's automatic. Like you're walking to the cold shower, man, this is going to suck. And then you just do it. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. That's the thing too. And that's honestly like, you know, and we talk about this a lot with Brody. That's such a major part of really everything in life, is just knowing, yeah, this is going to be a struggle. But when you overcome that and you actually go and do that and you take personal power for yourself and you go out and actually taking the thing you need to do and get it done. I mean, it's your confidence increases, your ability to withstand struggle and endure struggle is obviously going to be that much greater. You can just really go out and achieve what you're wanting to achieve, you know, and just that compounding effect, like it is that compounding of every single day. And, you know, you and I have checked in together quite a lot on like how our mornings have started and like, and different things like that. And just that compounding effect, if you can just every day be consistent. And it's not perfect. I mean, I'm similar to you. There's some mornings, like I don't really want to get out of bed, you know, and start a quarantine. I was like that. I'm like, I really don't want to get out of bed. And I would sleep in a couple of hours, like fully admit that. But, you know, I realized after probably about 3 or 4 days, I'm like, wait a minute. I was compounding in a positive direction. Now I'm compounding in a negative direction by every day not doing the things I should be doing. And it's affecting where I'm going here. And so I was like, no, let's take personal power back. Let's think about what we're doing right now. And it's course correct, get us back online and get back to those getting up and, you know, doing the things we got to do. But it's reality is, even if you mess up, you can't be hard on yourself about it. Just know that you did. Take power back, be like, okay, this is what happened. How can I prevent this from happening in the future? So,
boom. I love it. The compound effect, Kaizen, 1% every day. Like that's 100%. Literally like the lifestyle we're living now. And that's huge. And like you said, you're going to have days where it messes up, but you can't let that one mess up continue to go on. Be like, oh, I messed up this one time. Oh, well, screw it. I'm done.
Yeah.
It's just one time.
Can.
Mm-hmm. You just got to readjust, recalibrate for the next day and go for it.
Exactly. You know, and that happens. And I've had this, you know, I've let it happen before whereby I've not got up early and then I've just allowed that to affect my day because I've been disappointed in myself. So of course, right from the start, you're not even setting up your day for success because you're waking up, you're feeling guilty. You're feeling lacking in confidence because you didn't do what you said you were going to do. So you're breaking promises to yourself. Again, it's like one domino. It's all of a sudden, like it's, and then your day, you're going into your day, probably you're going to be behind your schedule. You're not going to be rolling, you know, moving forward than today. You're going to be playing catch up the entire time. It's, but you can't, you've just got to get on with it. Like when that happens, just, all right, calm down, take a step back. Let's just get through the day and then we'll readjust for tomorrow. Make sure it doesn't happen again.
Boom.
So,
boom. That's what it is. I mean, like to be able to do that, like it requires like a very powerful mindset to be able to like it, to be able to be self-aware enough to realize that and like to go forward. Like, how did you build up like this mentality? I'm like you said, like you're going into these meetings with these high level people, like not fazed by it. You're going through your morning routine, your daily routine, like a machine. Cause I know you check up in the group. I see it every day. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's killing it.
I know, I get the little fire symbol from you. I didn't have to look who like that. I'm like the fire symbol. I'm like, oh, that's Chase.
That's Chase. So how did you build this mindset to be able to just like, just say F it and just continue forward no matter what?
I mean, bro, that's on it. It's a combination of a lot of things. Time being one of those. It's just really, honestly, and it's only been till really recently whereby I've actually felt like I'm starting to take personal power and personal responsibility for everything I do every single day. And that's, and I'm still at times, not, I still play the blame game, you know, like I feel we all do to some extent. But it's really been, I would say, a combination of being around others that have the same mindset, the same goals, and are pushing us forward. Like we have from Wake Up Wealthy. Wake Up Wealthy changed my life. And again, I'm not getting paid by Brody to plug this at all, but I'm just saying like Raddy is like being around other people because it's kind of funny. Like it's, again, this is me kind of being vulnerable here about it because I want to be honest with all your, you know, all your viewers right now about this. So it's funny. So my network, yeah, the ultra high net worth people, and they're massively successful, but I'm in a position whereby I'm where they were at, you know, many years ago. I'm building my way up to that. That's the goal. But the network I necessarily have like in my immediate surrounding area is not that level. These are my clients, these are the guys I work with, but they're not like my friends. They're not what they are, but they're not, I'm trying to say, basically they're not like the people I'm going to go and have a drink with or whatever. They're, you know, they're still that level of, they're my clients and they're people I'm, you know, I need to look after or whatever. So you have to find a group of people that actually can support you and can be here, which, I mean, the guys in Wake Up Wealthy, I mean, thankfully I met a bunch of the guys, you know, a couple of months back when we did a retreat together, but most of the guys, we just know each other Zoom. Chase and I, we've never met each other in person, but we know every day we have that accountability to one another, that we're around each other, we can support each other. And that's for sure a crucial part. And again, as you said, it's just each day trying to just do something a little bit better, just be a little bit better. And the confidence builds from that. It's, nothing is overnight. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people try and make these massive leaps forward and it never, honestly, never works. And you see that, you've seen some guys that will like overnight make a massive leap forward and do something really powerful. And the next day they come down again. You know, it's like somebody, for example, if you're in a business whereby, you know, you need to make maybe a lot of cold calls every day, you know, and you have KPIs, you know, you need to make like, I don't know, 40 cold calls a day. And that's going to lead to X number of actual, you know, leads. It's going to lead to, you know, two deals or whatever the case may be. And you'll have these guys that will be like, yeah, so this day they'll do like, you know, they'll just call 10 people. And the next day they'll call maybe like 80 people. The next day they'll call 20 people. Like it's, you know, and then they'll just keep yoloing basically. There's no consistency. And that never really leads to any compounding, you know, exponentially good results in your favor. I think that's always going to lead to inconsistency in your life, inconsistency in your results and what you want to do. And I just really everything I've always done, I've really just tried to think about how can I be consistent and just build a little bit all the time. Because even actually, it's funny, I brought up the cold calling scenario. I mean, I hate cold calling personally, but I've really made it, like, as you know, it's been brought up a few times, but I've always tried to look at it from a standpoint of, can I just do one more today than I did yesterday? Can I just increase just incrementally and not be like, all right, today I'm gonna do 40 calls. And all right, I'll be like, great, I did 40 today, awesome. So what, tomorrow I'm gonna take the day off, or tomorrow I'll be like, well, I made 40 yesterday, so I can, you know, make 10 today. Like, it's never gonna lead to consistent results. And that trickles into every other area of your life as well. Because reality is the way you, I mean, as the saying's been, you know, overused, but the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And I truly believe that, and I truly live by that. So if you're inconsistent in one aspect of your life, you're inconsistent across the board. So if you can just be consistent a little bit better each day, you build that confidence. And that's why I'm able to go out and do the things I'm doing now and network with the people I network and really, I guess, kind of just continue to build that momentum. I mean, it's still a long way to go, and I have a lot of big plans and visions and businesses I want to start and things I want to do. So it's all a process. It's all about the process, and it's all a journey. So it's kind of long-winded. I apologize.
Value bomb right there. Yes, sir. Nice bomb, bro. That was insane. Thank you for that. Oh my God. That needed to be said. Everybody who is listening to this episode, rewind it. Go listen to that again. That was golden. Dude, Ash, this has been an insane episode. Thank you so much for coming on. I got two questions for you.
Yeah.
One is, how can we find you and how can we provide value to you?
Wow. So you can find me, I mean, Instagram, Ash Atkinson, so Ash, A-S-H Atkinson, A-T-K-I-N-S-O-N, and the number one. And you can see, you know, everything luxury. Like you say, I've got some jets, got the yachts, and just my daily life. I like to post, you know, videos about talking about what we've been talking about today, mindset stuff, how, so I'm always trying to look at other ways I can help people. And I always try to be I'm always my real self. I'm always vulnerable. I'm always, you know, I'm honest with people and the struggles I'm facing. Cause again, it's like, you know, I'm sure you get the same thing, Chase. You have people that hit you up and like, oh my God, you're crushing it. And all that. I'm like, well, I'm a guy, like I'm a human being like everybody else. I still have struggles. I still like things I got to deal with. And it's, whether, and the stresses and concerns, you know, and that it's part of it. So there, LinkedIn, Ash Atkinson, Facebook, Ash Atkinson as well. So it's kind of the best way to hit me up. And I mean, in terms of value, it's a great question. I don't know. Cause like, I never asked for anyone to get, I was like, I'm going to provide value to others. I mean, hey, if anyone out there has somebody that wants to fly privately or wants to charter something, you know, even if we do events as well. So really anyone that's like that, you know, if I can provide value and help, you know, if they can bring business our way, that's awesome. And we'll do our best to take care of anyone that wants to do that. So.
Boom. Last question. So let's say you were the one running this interview, right? So you're but you were interviewing you. What would you ask?
Oh my God. You could have prepped me on that before this interview, because like, how can you put me on the spot like that? Oh my God.
Well, I do that with everybody, man.
Sorry?
So I do that with everybody.
I do that with everybody? Okay. Yeah. What would I ask myself? Wow. What do you value as success? Like, what would you say is success to you? For me, success is, and I actually did a podcast with another guy, literally where we spoke the whole episode about success and the value of success. So I will obviously not try to go long-winded answers to this, but basically for me, success is not about, it's not about having this, the Instagram lifestyle of this, you know, flying the jets and the cars and the yachts and having this kind of persona of like, you know, material goods and everything else. Sure, that's amazing to have. They're byproducts to me to success. You know, it just means that you're able to, a byproduct of doing what you do. I mean, for me, success is about being able to provide value for others, being just feeling like I'm just really feeling honestly, like I master each day. Like I really try to take everything on a day by day basis. And for me, success looks like I got to the end of my day, I'm about to put my head on the pillow and I actually did everything that I needed to get done today. I didn't break any promises I made to myself as well. I actually committed to what I said I was going to do that day. I followed through, I executed on that. I didn't, you know, cop out and be like, oh no, I'll do it tomorrow, you know, or whatever. I actually did what I said I was going to do today. And if you can master that, and that's basically mastering your mindset at that point, I mean, success is guaranteed for sure at that point. You know, it's going to be the byproduct of mastering. So,
boom.
That's what I'm saying.
Success equals self-mastery. I like it.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude. Yo, this has been an amazing episode. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And everybody, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Young Healthy Wealthy Show. And until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Young Healthy and Wealthy Show. My name is Chase Henderfit. I am your host. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to DM me on Instagram at Chase_Henderfit. And I have one favor to ask. Please just share this episode with one person. You never know who it could help impact. And if you share it on your Instagram story, I'll repost it on mine. So until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy.